Okay, so want to continue this morning. Before we actually start, just one announcement or kind of an agenda change a little bit. Brother Mike and I were talking, and it appears that trying to go through two of the one another's in one setting is a little bit much. So what we're going to do is we're going to slow it down a little bit. And so when we can do two in a study, we will. But if not, we're going to take the whole study to just go through one, and we'll continue the same course. But I did want to mention that to you because, again, it almost seems like we're getting through the first one, and then we're kind of running through the second one just because we're running out of time. And so we thought, I mean, it's worthy. I think it's worthy. I hope you do too. Because the one another is really are teaching us about practical living, and I'm not sure what else we could want but to hear from the Word about the way we ought to live our lives. So with that, this morning, we're going to look at judge one another or don't judge one another. The scriptures that I'm going to use this morning are on the board, just in case you wanted to follow. I'm going to read them to us, and then we're going to try to look at them a little bit. So if you go to the book of Romans, we will at least read one verse that kind of lays it out for us. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, where it says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore." And again, I want to remind us that as we are looking at these one another's, the lion's share of them are laid out by the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting to me how many of them, I think, if I remember right, 10 of them are right here in the book of Romans. I could be wrong, but there's a bunch of them in Romans. And it's interesting that Paul would lay these out for us after he has, you remember now, Romans chapter 1 through chapter 11 is just solid doctrine. All the great doctrines that we hold dear and to be true. And then Paul lays out, starting in chapter 12, the practical application of the doctrine. And again, I just continually want to remind us that solid practice or solid living, practical living, is always a result of understanding sound doctrine. You can't separate doctrine from practice. They're inseparable, and as sure as faith without works is dead, so is trying to live practically in a way that pleases God without knowing what it is that God requires in order to please him is dead alone. And again, many people will try to develop thoughts and ways and convictions, but they're not based on the Word of God. So I think it's important for us to always keep that in mind. So there really are seven scriptures this morning that we're going to read. And I'm going to read them, and then I'm going to come back and try to unpack at least some thoughts from those seven scriptures. And as I said, they're on the board for you. So let me start by asking a question, although I would rather you didn't try to answer right away. But let me start with this question. And the question is it always right not to judge one another? Is it always right not to judge one another? And I'm going to ask you, just hold on to that thought, and let's give this a few minutes and then come back to that. Because, you know, as you think of it in your mind, is it always right not to judge? Maybe as we look at these scriptures, it'll become either clearer to you, or you might even have a different thought as we work through it. Is it always right not to judge one another? So let's look at some of these verses. We'll come back to Romans 14 in a little bit, but I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7, and I want to read. And again, all I'm going to do right now is read these seven scriptures together. And then, as I said, if we have time, Lord willing, we're going to go back and look at each one of them, at least for a moment, to try to get an understanding. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? And so there is language right there. Judge not. I want to ask you to turn to Gospel of John, chapter 7. And again, I want to read these and then go back to them. And I pulled out a sampling of them, brothers and sisters. I didn't pull them all out, but I think they'll suffice for what the thoughts that I had, and maybe will provoke us to further thoughts. In John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ says this. He says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, remember the question. Is it right always not to judge? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and there's two verses in 1 Corinthians I want to look at. The first one's in chapter 4, and it should be verse 5. And the apostle says this, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, and then each one's praise will come from God." There's another one where it says, "Therefore, judge nothing." While you're in 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 12. And again, I'm reading them, not setting up context or anything, but we'll come back to that, Lord willing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul says this. He says, "What have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside?" And in all these verses, friends, the same word is used for judgment. And as I looked at the meaning of the word, it has several different ways to break out. But one of the overriding meanings of the word is to pronounce an opinion, if you will, and really to pronounce an opinion as regarding right and wrong, to set out an opinion and make it basically an opinion that has to do with what's right and what's wrong and what someone else is doing. So something to think about. Okay, two more. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and again, the Apostle Paul, and in verse 16, look what he says. "Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbaths. Let no one judge you." And then, if you would, one more. In James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And in verse 11, it says this. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" And again, same word. So in all those verses that I read, it's the same word. And I wanted to ask us to think about that and to try to, if you will, unpack it just for a moment. So go back to Matthew now. I mean, go back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14. The question was, is it always right to judge one another? Or is it always right not to judge? Anyone want to answer it at this point?
No, when you asked that question originally, when you asked it the first time and then asked us to consider it, if our fruit bears us out, and other people are seeing that fruit, how can you almost not at least form an opinion, if not a judgment?
Okay.
Judgment, we meet when every time we use that, just like it's the same word used, mm-hmm. each context kind of has its own nuance.
Yeah.
We need to make that distinction of what does each one mean. So, like, if we make judgments all the time, if somebody was to come in this church and they were a convicted child molester but had been changed by the power of the Spirit and had repented of their sin and been forgiven, we still ain't going to let them work in a nursery. We made a distinction. We made a judgment. Doesn't mean we've condemned that person. So we make judgments all the time. It's just what's that nuance and what's the reason? Are we condemning someone or are we just making a discerning decision?
So,
that's how I would see it.
So if I understand what both of you are saying, then maybe one way as we're going to see this, and I hope to show it to us, is that there are times when we ought to judge, and there are times when we ought not to judge. Although, given the fact that we all do make opinions, we form opinions in our own mind, I'm thinking of it in the sense of where not only do we form those opinions, but we make known those opinions. Or if we don't make them known, they become a conviction to us. And I think we have to be careful because if I understand what I just read, it appears in some places it says judge not, and in other places it says judge. So I think there's a piece that has to be added into that. And I think that's what you were saying, brother. In context, in setting, and a bunch of different things, and that it's not as black and white as we would like it to be. And certainly one of the reasons why it's not black and white as we would like it to be is because it involves people. Once we start involving each other into the mix, there's always going to be some other pieces that need to be added in, because we're rather complicated, if you think about it. The one thing that isn't complicated is God's word and its purity and its truth. And yet, if you didn't know nothing about the Bible, you just sat here this morning and I just read those seven verses to you, you might be scratching your head saying, wait a minute, I'm not sure now. In some verses it says I ought not to, and in other verses it says I should. So how do we make that determination? So in Romans chapter 14, let's just go back and quickly try to unpack a little bit each one of those that I read to you. Now, this one I'm going to read a little larger context, setting, and surrounding verses, but the other ones we'll just mention. So let me just read it to you. Romans 14, receive one another who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat, to the Lord does not eat, and gives God thanks. But none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, certainly can't go through that whole passage, but I want to make two points, at least two things that to me stand out in these verses, and it relates to this whole idea of judgment. And one is that when it comes to the area of judgment, that we ought to be careful to, if you will, divide between things that are essential and things that are indifferent. That we need to be careful in our judgment when we do form these opinions, that we're creating these opinions and making these judgments in the right way. And that the difference is that if it is something that is in that sense indifferent, or if it is something that is not as clear as could be in the scriptures, then we need to be very careful. In other words, if it's not something that either God has expressly commanded, or it's not something that God has expressly forbidden. I mean, we can get in and we can talk about the regulative principle and the normative principle and all those other things. But my point is, when I read this, that's one of the things that stands out to me, is that we need to understand what we're dealing with. And I think that's what you were saying, Brother Mike. We have to understand the context. And if you read the context here, and we'll look at it again in Colossians, it appears to me that Paul is dealing with things that are not as clear cut. That there, it's an area almost of conscience and liberty. And those are the areas where we have to be extremely careful. And I would suggest those are the areas where we seem to struggle the most. We start forming opinions. And then that opinion becomes a judgment. And before you know it, that judgment leads us down the wrong road concerning other people. So that's the first thing, that if we're going to make judgments, it has to be on things that are absolutely clear, and that we need to steer away from things that are either given to us in a thought of liberty or of non-essential. The second thing I want to say about that is that as I read this, what I get from it is that Paul's saying that not everyone is at the same place at the same time. There's one who's weak, there's one who's strong. Remember, he says, let not the weak despise the one who's strong. I mean, judge the one who's strong. Let not the one who's strong judge the one who's weak. And that when we are told not to judge one another, we have to keep that in mind, that every one of us are unique, and that we're all, and that means all of us, are not at the same place at the same time. We're not all on the same, if you will, spiritual wavelength. Although that's probably not a good way of describing it, but nevertheless, that's what I take from what I read in Romans chapter 14. So that gives me a little insight into judging. That if I'm going to form an opinion, I have to have, I really need to have a clearness of mind of the opinion that I'm forming, why I'm forming it, and then I have to ask myself a bunch of questions before, and that takes some thought. Usually we make, and I think you brought up, we make snap judgments, right? We make, I think I read one time, it takes us some really, you talk to someone you never met before, and I think it was within 30 seconds, you've already formed a judgment about that person. Whether, for whatever reason, whether it be an outward, something outward has caused you, or something that was said, and we need to be careful with that. Okay, I want to kind of get through these and then kind of lead us to a little bit of discussion. So, go back to Matthew chapter 7 for a minute. Matthew chapter 7. And let's think about this one for a minute. Okay. Judge not that you be not judged, for what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Now, if I understand this correctly, the issue is not so much the judgment as it is in the fact that you are condemning someone else for the very thing that you yourself might be guilty of. And that is the thing that's being told to us that we have to be careful about, is that we have to realize our own frailty. We have to realize our own weakness. We have to realize our own sin. And that should be in the mix when we start to make judgments. And again, these are things that we have to think through. These can't be done simply snap judgments that we would consider. In other words, we're not to be censors of one another. We're not to go around Brother Dan, he's too lazy to shave. Brother Mike hasn't shaved in 430 years.
A little bit of truth there.
but I almost sense them in my mind. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters, especially with the people of God. And even outside of that, but especially with the people of God. And again, remember, not everyone is at the same place at the same time. And that we need to understand that. And so to me here, it is more of an issue of that, of having a, if you will, a censoring spirit, than it is an issue of making a judgment. Because now I want you to turn quickly to John chapter 7 and this one is interesting, and much could be said about this verse, but I do want to present this to you because this can be confusing and it can be troubling in the context is, of course, the Jews and the Pharisees who are always accusing Jesus, are accusing him, and, you know, you have a demon, and who's trying to kill you, and all that. And then it has to do also with the Sabbath in verse 23. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? But now, look what he says. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. That almost could sound as if he's saying both of those. Don't judge and judge. What's the difference? Well, the difference is, as it's set forth here, on appearance, that we, and is what I took from that. Again, we make hasty opinions in our own mind. And many times the hasty opinion is based on externals. What we see, what we feel, the senses. And that what Jesus is saying here is that our judgment, if we're going to make a judgment, if we're going to form an opinion, it ought to be right with the Word of God. It ought to be right with the truth of God. And that you and I need to use that as our post. We need to start there rather than just being, we could talk about the thing in James where he says that the rich man comes in and he's got his suit on, right? And what's the judgment? What's the opinion? Come, sit up front. And then you got the scruffy dude who hasn't shaved in 430 years. And he walks in and what do we say? Sit in the back. Why? We didn't judge righteous judgment. We just judged by appearance. We just formed an opinion by externals. And it's got to be right because we formed it, right? It's got to be right because that's what I think. I think we have to be careful. So it's not against judgment because Jesus said we ought to judge righteous judgment. I think we have to really be considerate when we do form these judgments. And again, we all do it. Every single one of us makes a multitude of judgments every single day. And that we need to really consider these things. All right. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. And again, I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at us, and I probably should do more as far as each scripture, but I do want to kind of put them all out there. And this one is particularly interesting. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians 4, but 1 Corinthians 5, 12, and you remember the situation, right? So there's the sin of sleeping together, that a man has his father's wife, and all these things. And then we come down to verse 12, and he says, what do I have to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? Now, to me, this scripture, there's no doubt we ought to form a judgment. See, I can form a judgment right now that Mike and Sybil are laughing, and I have no idea why they're laughing. And I, my opinion is, what are they laughing at me for? What did I do?
She said, if a man sleeping with his mother, we can make a distinction that is wrong. That's what she whispered in my ear.
And you're absolutely right, sister.
I'm going to make a judgment.
You're going to make a judgment. You're going to go out on a limb, right? And isn't that the truth, though? There is no way that we ought not to make a, and that's what Paul's saying, right? You got to make a judgment. What's the distinction? What's the distinction here from Romans 14?
Well, the righteous judgment we use in this particular case, he was sleeping with his
mother. Right, and we know expressly that God forbids that. Right? Right? Right. According to the word. So, and we don't have to be concerned about whether we've kind of added things into it or not added things, or we have prejudice, or we have, it's absolutely clear. You can't do that. You just can't do it. And therefore, we must form an opinion, and we must pronounce that opinion openly, right? Again, the distinction being, and this to me is the key thought for all of this, is that we need to base all judgments on the things that are expressly given to us in God's word. And so, see, I was wrong. I thought they were just laughing at me. And yet they were talking in great scriptural principles.
They were laughing at you too.
They were laughing. Thank you, brother. I was coming out of it. You sent me right back into it. But again, would you not agree that that is one of the clear principles that are given to us? And so when we come to this area of not judging one another or judging one another, the thing that is to be used in that judgment is the word of God. When the word of God is absolutely clear. And as I said, when you look at some of the other scriptures, I think that's where we get hung up. And let me show you. Go to Colossians now. Colossians chapter 2. And this is why I try to tie in all these scriptures rather than just focusing on one, because they come at it, even according to what Brother Mike was saying, there's a different approach, there's a different setting, there's a different context, and therefore there's a different meaning or a different nuance of meaning in each of them. And certainly here, and this one is similar to the one in Romans chapter 14. And as Paul was talking, and he says this, therefore, in verse 16, let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Again, to me, in order to really understand this scripture, you really got to know God's word. Because you really got to know what's taught in the new covenant versus what's laid out in the old covenant. So this one, you really got to know more than just forming an opinion. It really has to be based not only on a specific scripture, but on an understanding of the word of God as a whole. And that you and I are to be careful that we are not to judge one another in food or drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath, which under the old covenant, there was no exceptions, were there? What did happen to the man who picked up sticks on the Lord on the Sabbath? Right. There was no sitting back and saying, well, let me see, I wonder why he picked up those sticks. It was expressly given to the people of Israel not to do it. But you have to understand, if we're going to understand this, we have to understand the new covenant. And where are we in time and space now, in redemptive history? Where are we? And therefore, we got to be well-rounded in the word of God. Just like, I mean, we could think of 1,000 different examples. Some Christians will go out to eat on a Sunday. Some Christians won't. Who are we to judge one another? What would we base that judgment on? Well, I can't believe that they actually go to a restaurant on Sunday. Or I can't believe that they refuse to eat on a Sunday unless they go home. Some people feel like Christians ought not to have a glass of wine or a beer. Some Christians feel as if they are free to have a glass of wine or a beer. And by the way, with that, I know of no place, I'll just, my opinion, I know of no place that forbids having a glass of wine or a beer. I know of every place where it says we ought not to be drunk, right? But I don't know, you'd really have to prove to me where it says that you can't have a glass of wine or a beer. And again, I'm not trying to promote Coors or Budweiser or whatever else is out there. But my whole point is that, see, if we're going to make judgments, there's a whole lot that has to enter into it. Again, if we were in the Old Testament days, we wouldn't be having that conversation. You picked up sticks on the Sabbath, you die. We need to be careful. We need to be those who think. And this is the key to it also, is that if we're going to form judgments, if we're going to form these opinions, we need to mold these opinions by the Word of God and not just by our own opinion or our own likes or dislikes. You guys are laughing at me, so I'm just going to keep picking on you two this morning. I mean, if Brother Mike walked into another church and everybody was dressed in suits and ties, they might say, man, I can't believe that guy comes. Huh? You've been there, right? Yeah. I can't believe that dude. You know that dude even stands in a pulpit with shorts on? He can't be a godly man. How dare him come to the house of God in a pair of shorts on? I'm only... No, that's not what I mean. What'd you say, baby? That's right. We do have a picture of Mike in a suit. But again, how many times would we form an opinion based on something like that? And if we do, what right do we have to do it? Where would we find the scriptural evidence and the scriptural warrant to make such a judgment? We couldn't. We couldn't do that. And so again, this maybe your opinion of what that question of, is it always right not to judge? Maybe it's a little clearer. Maybe it's a little hazier. I think we have to really think through one of these things. And yet the express command is, as we looked at in Romans 14, don't judge one another in areas that you ought not to be, and make sure you judge one another in areas where you ought to, right? There's the distinction. On what's the point of reference? God's word. But it's not just an express command. It's the whole tenor, if you will. Again, as I said, we're on the new covenant, and therefore we live in a day when our judgments have to be based on the day in which we live as the Word of God lays it out. And again, otherwise you could fall into an area of legalism, can't you? Right? Or you could fall into an area of antinomianism, the two opposites, right? One being bound up by outward things and legalistic thoughts. The other one just running hog wild. And again, I will just continue to say, because I know my own self, we usually err on the extremes because our extremes are comfortable to us because there are convictions. And so we'll defend that flag to the death. All right. I want to just try to get through the other two. So go to James chapter 4, and this one is interesting too, right? James chapter 4, and this is why, again, me and Brother Mike wanted to kind of slow us down a little bit, because I think we're able to get a little further into this as we look at these individually rather than two at a time. Okay, in James chapter 4, this one is just the way it's laid out and the way it's worded to me is very good and clear. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, and who are you to judge another? And the issue here to me is that not only are you forming an opinion, but you've become the jury, you become the judge, you become the sentencer, the executioner, you become in the place of God. And that is the very thing that we cannot do. We've got to be careful that the opinions that we form and the judgments that we make are based on God's word. Or I would suggest if you and I can't get a conviction from the word of God, then we ought to just shut up. And I think that's where many of us fall into the hole, is that we've got to voice ourselves. And again, in areas of whether it be, as I said, whether it be someone who feels comfortable eating meat versus a vegetarian. And then there's that whole other area, which we will cover again and over again, that even that in and of itself, even the one who's not condemned because he eats, he's still got to be what? He'll be mindful of the one who doesn't. He's got to make a further judgment. He's not going to allow the weak one to judge him, but then he's got to judge him, in that sense, judge himself about what is he doing to the weak one, even though his conscience is clear. So, again, another area in which it was interesting. So in James chapter 4, verse 11, where he says that, I pulled out Alfred Bonds is one of the commentaries I look at, and it says the evil here referred to is that of talking against others, against their actions, their motives, their manner of living, their families. Few things are more common in the world. Nothing is more decidedly against the true spirit of religion. And that's what it is where we start making judgments on one another that we have no right, nor do we have the ability to do that. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, do we? We don't know where God has a certain person at a certain time for God's ultimate purpose. Again, if it's outwards, if it's clear sin, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's no doubt. But as far as other things, things that are indifferent, things that are not laid out for us, we need to be very careful, especially with the people of God. And the reason we need to be especially careful with the people of God is because they're the people of God, right? They're the ones that Christ died for. If we're going to be careful with anybody, you better be the ones that Christ died for, his sheep. So again, I'm not saying we ought not to make judgments. We better. If I went outside on my way to the car and there's a guy and he's comes up to me and he looks like he's going to attack me, I'm going to make a snap judgment. And I'm sure many of us would, right? And maybe I'll be sorry after making that snap judgment, but I'm going to make it. If I think he's going to harm me or harm my wife or, touch Brother Mike's car, I'm going to stop him. But again, just an area of it takes a lot of diligence, brother. It's just not as easy. And let me close with 1 Corinthians 4. Go back to that now for a minute. So I think this is, in a sense, would help summarize what I've been attempting to set forth. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. And certainly within the whole concept of the Apostle Paul and his ministry and his service to God. And he comes down in verse 5, judge nothing before the time. And I don't think nothing means absolutely nothing. I think it's in the context of what we just said, because we go to the next chapter and he's already making the judgments. He says, I'm not even there. I've already judged this man. But he says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, reveal the counsels of the heart, and then each one's praise will come from God. And so a couple things. We don't know it all, so we need to be careful. We don't know what God's ultimate purpose is in any situation. We don't know fully well our own areas where we need to judge ourselves before, again, take the beam out of our own eyes before we try to take the speck out of our brother's eyes. And that this thought, there's coming a day when there'll be nothing but light. And in that day, there won't be any misjudgments, will there? There won't be any wrong conceptions. There won't even be any wrong opinions. Why? Because Christ himself, being the light, will expose everything. And in that day, we will understand. And I'll leave you with this. It's something that I always remembered, that one day they came up to Charles Spurgeon and they said, "Well, Brother Spurgeon, what do you expect to see in heaven?" And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I expect that some of the people I thought would be there will not be there." And he said, "I also expect that some of the people I thought would never be there will be there." And to me, that it kind of ties into that thought of judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. So let us not get fooled on one side or the other. And that we all have to give an account of ourselves before God, and that in that day, everything will be made manifest, even long-bearded men. Thoughts? Any quick thoughts about, do you think we've kind of at least hit a vein of truth in this, that we have to really think through? We ought to be, by the way, we ought to be the most thoughtful people on the earth. Those of us who have a new mind and a new heart, we ought to be the most thoughtful, good thinkers. And for all that, I think many times we are just so busy doing a snap judgment. Brother Lee.
One thing we should judge, but probably judge down on the list, is our own sin and wrong thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And it's certainly that in Matthew chapter 7, where it says, what about your own beam in your own eye? And how often it is that the very thing we form opinions about someone else is the very thing that we neglect to form opinions of ourselves. Brother Andy just keeps talking. But maybe you are just always talking in your mind. So again, many thoughts. So I hope it helps. Hope as we go through these one another's that we'll get a perspective of things that we ought to consider more often rather than less often. Okay, got to go. Let's close with prayer. Our Father and God, again, we thank you for who you are and who we are because of that, because of the Lord.